When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Marigold Standard, your weekly audio source of all things Dreamstar Fighting Marigold. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin, and I'm joined as ever by my co-host, my Joshi brother-in-arms, if you will, Mr. Matt Turner. Matt Turner, how are you, good sir?
Rob Goodwin, I am fantastic. Super excited to talk about these terrific shows. Obviously, we were coming off some unbelievable five-star Grand Prix shows from Stardom, and super excited for this Monday for the Cork and Hall show from Marigold with Julia's last match in Japan, for now. No, brother, I'm really good. It's Friday as we're recording. I have a nice, relaxing weekend ahead of me, so hopefully get some stuff done for the show. And just rocking and rolling, man. Blessed to be here. How's everything on your end? How's the painting going? Because I know when we recorded the Stardom cast a few days ago, you were covered in blue paint, and then you told me that you were busy doing some painting today. So how's everything there, my friend?
Quite honestly, it is the most stressful experience of my life, which is, I feel like whenever I do any sort of DIY or home improvement, I immediately make it into the most stressful experience it possibly can be. My mum, bless her, who hasn't been well, but she came round and she's helped paint the downstairs toilet. The room, obviously, not the toilet itself. That'd be weird. And then I've painted the fence outside. But after 2 days solid, I've done half of the fence. I didn't realize how long it took to paint fences. It's a completely different color, like I said, on the Stormcast to the one that we thought we were getting. It's more of a powder blue than it is a gray. But my brother has just been round, as I was saying to you, and he said, oh, no, it looks great. I think he was just being nice, to be perfectly honest. But it looks nice. I've done an all right job. I haven't splattered my neighbor's... you know, whenever you're painting a fence and it seeps through onto your neighbor's fence, I don't think I've done that. I have, however, completely speckled their red tree. So fingers crossed they don't go down to that part of their garden too often. Otherwise, I might be getting a knock on the door. But other than that, yeah, it's all going well. It's been a nice day. It's been a fairly, aside from the painting, a fairly stress-free couple of days. We've just had the five-star Grand Prix show from Corican Hall from Stardom, which was a really, really, really good show. We are on the precipice of the Dreamstar Grand Prix, which, of course, starts on the 31st of August. We've got Julia's last match to happen on the 19th of August, as you've already mentioned. That Corican Hall show is going to be excellent. We're still waiting on a full card announcement for that show, but the three matches that we do have announced look spectacular. So, yeah, all is good, my friend. All is good. Let's kick into some news, I think, straight away, because it's what happens. When we record an episode, it seems that big things will drop within an hour of us recording. And sure enough, last night I was on my way back from football, cold, wet, miserable, which is just my general state of being, I feel at times. And Matt Turner.
That's your mutant ability, buddy. That's just, you know, that's your mutant ability. Wolverine's got the claws. Cyclops has got the laser eyes. And that's just you.
I'm just perpetually miserable. I think it's a British thing. I think it's a British thing. All of my Brits out there, just comment and let me know if it is or if it's just me. And I got a text off you saying, another big news story has dropped, and of course it had. And that, Matt Turner, is that Momo Watanabe will be coming to America, coming off the back yesterday of her loss to Mayu Iwatani in the 5-star Grand Prix, which eliminates her from the running, eliminates her in the tournament going 0-4, quite surprisingly, really. In her backstage promo, she said that she was sick of the heat, the typhoons, and the earthquakes in Japan, and said that she wants to wrestle in America. She specifically picked out Mercedes Moné, as Moné had name-dropped Momo by name as someone she would like to face at some point. So basically, Momo shot her shot and said, do you know what? Yeah, let's do a match in America. That has now been confirmed. So on August 30th in America, August 31st, Japanese time, Momo Watanabe versus Mercedes Moné at New Japan Capital Collision in the Entertainment and Sports Arena, Washington, D.C., for the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. Crucially, this is not for the AEW TBS Championship, which, of course, Mercedes will be defending just a week prior in London against Britt Baker. Matt, this is exciting news for a whole host of reasons. It's great to see Momo Watanabe in America again, especially when you consider the reaction she got at the Philly show at the 2300 Arena, where she is the heeliest heel to ever heel. And suddenly she comes out to challenge Micah for the red belt and the crowd becomes unglued. They absolutely love them, some Momo Watanabe. And you can actually see that the reaction took her aback a little bit. So to see her back in America is going to be fantastic. Mercedes Moné is a wrestler, especially in America, that has pretty unrivaled selling. She is able to ragdoll in a similar way to a Sayori Anno or even a Mayu Iwatani. And I think that is going to showcase just how brutal Momo Watanabe can be. And off the back of quite, you know, a disappointing 5-star Grand Prix, this could be the platform for Momo, even if she ends up losing this match.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff to unpack here. And you mentioned it when you first started this segment. It always seems that whenever we record, there's always some big news that happens. But alas, we have not one but two podcasts try to catch that news. So, not so fast, Stardom. Not just yet. Partner, is this, I know it's not obviously for the TBS Championship, but is this for the New Japan Strong Championship? I think it is.
It's for the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. It is indeed.
Okay, and Momo, you know me, I love me some Momo, but I don't think she did her research on that promo. She said one of the main reasons why she's coming to America, not the Eddie Murphy movie, but why she's coming to America is because she's sick of the heat, the typhoons, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, we're at the end of a heat wave over here on the East Coast. We've had a whole host of hurricanes that have come up the East Coast from the Carolinas and Florida going up to the Washington, D.C. area. And some tornadoes as well. So I don't know. Hopefully Momo Watanabe in a few weeks. Fingers crossed. She's A-OK. But no, this is terrific. And yes, we were there at the ECW Arena where she got a monster pop when she challenged Micah at the end of that show. Obviously, that match took place. Pardon me, at All-Star Grand Queendom, and I was there at Forbidden Door just about a month or so ago, where that pre-show match where she tagged with Chris Statlander to take on the team of Will Nightingale and Tam Nakano, that Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway were kind of the only heels in that match, because Momo Watanabe got a monster baby face pop there as well. Yeah, to say that I'm excited about this match would be an understatement. So much so that I really contemplated thinking, oh, I think it takes three and a half hours from my house to DC. Maybe I'll go to that show and cover the show live for the Stardom Cast. And then I realized that is the same weekend as not only the finals a Stardom five-star Grand Prix, but is also the opening weekend for the Dream Star Grand Prix from Marigold. So that would be just a little bit too much even for me, partner, but I will be definitely be watching this show live in the comfort of my own living room. And I believe Rocky Romero tweeted out just a handful of hours ago that this match is going to be the main event on that show. I cannot confirm nor deny that, but I did see a lot of people retweeting Rocky Romero's tweet that as of now it is scheduled for the main event of this show. I'm super excited for it. It's going to be a packed house over there in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. with Mercedes Moné, who was on a roll, had a great match last week with Hikaru Shida on AEW TV. And we know Shida hits hard, and I'm a big fan of Hikaru Shida, but she does not hit it hard as Momo Watanabe. But for that rate, King Kong doesn't either. So this is going to be a terrific match, another spotlight for Momo Watanabe over here in the United States. And again, we seems like we say this every week, whether it's on this show or whether it's on the Stardom Cast, we're just seeing the doors being opened up with so many different promotions that we're getting dream matches that we're like, oh, I didn't know I wanted to see that match. And then once it's announced, we're like, hell yeah, we want to see it. Hell yeah, we want to see it. So it's just really nice to see that we're going to have that match on a big stage where we're going to see Momo Watanabe getting, I'm assuming, a lot of praise, because Mercedes Moné obviously is a huge star. You know, she did everything over there in WWE, main evented WrestleMania, won every championship imaginable, has done great business for New Japan, for Stardom, for AEW, and now we're going to go see her wrestle another main eventer in Momo Watanabe, Rob. So yeah, I'm super excited for it. The buzz of this match already from the hardcore Stardom fans and the hardcore Joshi fans is something that I think is going to really uptick the pay-per-view sales and the ticket sales from this match. So yeah, all a go, my man. Super excited for this one. And that's going to be really just a great weekend of wrestling. So as if we'd get any less sleep, Rob, you know, let's get even less. Let's get even less. So, but yeah, I might have to take that either Sunday or that Monday off just to recoup. But man, I'm super excited. The more great wrestling, the better for us, my friend.
Absolutely. You won't hear any complaints from me at all. I haven't actually seen anything from Rocky. I mean, I haven't been on Twitter for the last couple of hours. But the idea of this being the main event, if that's the case, is a really big win for Momo Watanabe. I mean, I think I'm right in saying that Momo Watanabe probably has a 10% chance of winning this match. I'd be absolutely amazed if she wins. However, being in the ring in a main event in on a New Japan pay-per-view against Mercedes Moné, I think is a huge, huge win for her. And I think if she wrestles at the capability that we know she has and the level that she's been wrestling on these first four shows of the five-star Grand Prix, we are going to get an absolutely stellar match. We really are. It is worth noting as well that Hanako is also scheduled to appear on this card as part of her mini US excursion. She's going to be taking on Trisha Dora in singles action. The rest of the card as it is at the moment is as follows. Hanako and Trisha Dora. Dirty Work, Fred Rosser and Filthy Tom Lawler will be taking on the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Royce Isaacs and Joral Nelson. Zack Sabre Jr. is in a specials singles match with Titan. New Japan Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships, the Mighty Don't Kneel, Mikey Nichols and Shane Hayes. The champions will be taking on Hechicero? Hechicero.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it, buddy.
Confidence.
Yeah. Go for you, because he's been on, the only reason why I know that he was on AEW TV a whole bunch leading up to Forbidden Door. Good for you, buddy. Remember the old saying I told you about 2 years ago. If you don't know the saying, say it like you do know it.
Say it with confidence. That's the thing. So Hechicero and Virus are the challengers for that. Obviously, the New Japan Strong Women's Championship is on the line. Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe. That is, by the way, Mercedes Moné's first defense of that belt since taking it off Steph Thacker at Forbidden Door. And then finally, what was listed as the main event before this announcement, we've also got the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship match. The champion, Gabe Kidd, will be taking on Leo Rush. Also announced singles match, huge ramifications in the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Division, not for the title, but I imagine this will put them on the map for a future title shot. Hiromu Takahashi versus Mustafa Ali. Which I think is worth the price of admission itself. This show is a New Japan World pay-per-view, and you can purchase it for $19.99. There are still tickets at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Washington. It is $25, I think I've seen the tickets for. So if you're in the area, definitely go and check this show out, because just for Mercedes Moné and Momo Watanabe and that Hiromu Takahashi and Mustafa Ali match, you are getting the price of admission. In my humble opinion. Speaking of titles, it was announced today that the World of Stardom Championship will be defended at the Five Star Grand Prix 2024 finals. This is in on August the 31st in Musashino Forest Sports Plaza in Tokyo. Following another loss in the five-star Grand Prix, which seems to be a theme, Tam Nakano losing to Izumi. Effectively, this leaves Tam's chance of progressing past the block stage in tatters, I think it's fair to say, especially now having tiebreak losses against Mayu and Izumi, both who are still above Tam. I think it's fair to say that there's no chance she can progress, similar to Momo Watanabe as well, which was a huge shock to a lot of people. However, a bigger shock would arrive in the form of Natsuko Tora, the World of Stardom champion. She marched to the ring and offered a lifeline to Tam by offering her a title shot. Now, having been on a one-woman mission to obliterate Tam, you know, she's cut her hair, she's been attacking Tam's injured knee whenever possible. One can only think that Tora's thinking is that a title loss, whilst Tam is already at her lowest point, might be the straw that breaks the camel's back for Tam. This will be Tora's first title defense since taking the belt from Micah in Sapporo at the end of July. It has been made official and makes it the second title match announced for the finals alongside Rina versus Hina for the Future of Stardom Championship. Now, Matt, we are going to be talking, obviously, about this Corrigan Hall show on next week's Stardom Cast. This was a very, very strange way of setting up a title match, because Tam has just lost. Tam is effectively out of the five-star Grand Prix, a tournament which many people, myself included, thought she was probably going to win to then get that match with Tora in Ryogoku. You know, that seems to be the story that we are going for, at least at the moment. However, for Tam to lose and then not only not challenge Tora, but Tora, who has destroyed Tam for weeks and weeks now, to come to the ring and say to Tam, actually, you're my next challenger. It was a very weird setup. Now, the more I've thought about it, the more I think this is Tora's way of playing mind games and thinking that it's an easy V1, you know, beating a Tam while she's down. You know, she's repeatedly beat Tam. She submitted her in a tag match with that grand deathlock. What are your thoughts on the match itself? Which, for the record, I think the match itself will be really good. Their match in Nagoya last year was really good until the injury. And what did you think of the build-up to it as well?
Rob, this isn't my official prediction because this isn't the prediction show, but as of we're recording this, my prediction, as of right now, it's not official, is that Suryanu and Natsupoi turn on Tam and they join Hate because they have not had anybody join the Hate faction in about 4 days, and they're overdue. That's what's going to happen because there's not enough members in that faction. I kid, but I would be shocked.
Oh, you've put it in the universe now. You've put it out there.
Oh, please don't happen. It's weird because the Corrigan show, and I actually, there's a quick question I want to ask you about the Corrigan show before we sign off air, because you watched it, I believe, majority of it live, where I didn't get a chance to see it until later on in the day on Thursday when it happened. And yeah, obviously, what a great show. And I think you text me first thing in the morning, like, hey, Izumi and Tam just had a banger. Are you watching it? And I was like, unfortunately, I have too much going on. I won't get to it until later. And then you said they also set up the first red belt match for Tora. I was like, oh, I wonder when that's going to happen. At what pay-per-view is after the five-star? And then I went on Twitter and I didn't care to be spoiled. And I was like, oh, that's really weird that Tam lost and then gets a title match. Like, and it's going to be at the finals of the five-star Grand Prix, which I do like, because I do like this format that they're doing, because the set, you know, it's different with the blocks of the four blocks of seven, but it kind of takes away from that final night of the five-star Grand Prix, because you're only getting three five-star matches, the two semifinals and the finals, where we know going in who is that final night, we have a 1-in-4 shot of who's going to win the tournament. Where sometimes it's really fun to be like, well, this person still can make it. This person still can make it. Where in 2022, there was like 9 people that still could have made the finals and made it for a really interesting night of wrestling. So this championship match is really going to add to whatever the finals are going to be. I'm assuming the finals will probably go on last, to give whoever wins those semifinals time to kind of breathe and get a buffer. But a lot of interesting things are happening here. Again, it kind of, I'm somebody that you need to earn your title shot by wins, right? Mm. We're suspending disbelief that in the kayfabe world, this is 100% shoot, right? And that's the fun of it. So like if you're watching MMA or boxing, nobody that's on a 4-match losing streak is going to get a title match, regardless of Tam not losing the belt or not. But at the same time, I see where Tora's coming here, where she's like, this is the opportunity. If Tam's going to challenge, let me take her down. You had a great point 2 minutes ago, partner, when you said, well, this is where Tam's at her lowest. If I'm going to beat her, this is the opportunity. And again, not only has Tam lost, and I mentioned this just the other day when we did the Stardom cast, not only has Tam lost every single match in this year's five-star Grand Prix, but Tora submitted her in that tag match that they had just last week. And then again, the final, the Meltier versus Eye Contact match, Hanan pinned Tam clean in the ring. So Tam has not gotten a big, and I know that she pinned Zena to win the Artist of Stardom Championship, but on that, she really hasn't gotten a Momo as well. Like, Momo and Tam have lost all these matches and they're getting title shots. At the same time, I'm not going to complain about a Tam and Tora match on the five-star Grand Prix. And I'm not going to complain about the fact that we're getting Momo Watanabe in Mercedes Moné in Washington, D.C. So it's like, yeah, I kind of get that, but I'm not going to complain about getting great matches. I'm going to be honest with you, partner. Just kind of me taking a step back and looking at this, and maybe, again, this isn't my official prediction, maybe I'm just kind of betting with my heart here, but it wouldn't make sense for Tam to lose again, right? Not unless she's going to retire, and I don't see that happening, and I don't see the last person she's putting over being Natsuko Tora. And again, maybe we're looking at not only Sumo Hall, right? We know that the end of this five-star show is your launch pad for the rest of the year, Sumo Hall, and or what they're going to be doing at the Tokyo Dome, because we know Stardom is going to be having some matches, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, at the Tokyo Dome on the 5th of January for Wrestle Dynasty. So this is your springboard into really the future, what's going to happen between now and the end of the year. What's the bigger matchup? And again, maybe this is just my heart. Maybe this is just something that I know I want to see. And once I say that you want to see, what if Tam wins the red belt, the very next match, Mayu wins the 5-star, and they set up Tam versus Mayu, IWGP versus World of Stardom Championship in Sumo Hall? I think that would draw a lot more tickets than Tora versus Micah. And again, I really like Tora, and I love Micah. I sing Micah's praises all the time. But at the same time, we're trying to do something different here. We are trying. We Stardom, they know that they're in a fight, whether they want to admit it or not, with Marigold. They know that they want to draw more than 3,000 tickets in Sumo Hall to defeat what Marigold did at Summer Destiny with Io. So what's the bigger drawing ticket match? We know that Mayu and Tam, they draw all the time. All the time. Now, if you put Tam finally winning back her red belt, Mayu becoming the first and only wrestler to win the 5-star twice, Mayu has done wonders with that IWGP Women's Championship. Regardless of how New Japan has booked it, Mayu has banger after banger after banger with that belt. I think that would be the best way for them to go. And then if you throw in a Toni Storm on this show, a Mina on this show coming back from her excursion from the States, maybe a Mariah May. Again, they're probably going to be there because they're going to be on the show just a couple of days later at the Tokyo Dome. I think for me, that's just the way to go. How about you, partner? What do you say?
I think from a pure spectacle point of view, Mayu versus Tam as the main event, with Tam having that miserable singles record against Mayu, is a moneymaker. It really is. However, you have invested so much time in Hate as a faction. You know, you turn Saya Kamatani heel. you turn Konami heel again. You've sort of placed hate at the very forefront of the company at the moment, to then have Tora lose the belt to Tam, who she's had the edge over, without a title defense, having vacated her opportunity to be in the five star, I think would make her look very, very weak. And I would argue that that would completely destroy any credibility that she has at all. Because what does she fall back onto then? And unless you run some sort of civil war angle, which, you know, we've seen with the Bullet Club, is it never works. You know, where you have maybe Tekla or something trying to usurp Tora as the leader because she's perceived as weak. I don't know. But also, on the other hand, I'm with you. Another loss to Tam. Where does that leave her? I am of the opinion that Tora wins, because I feel like Tora has to win to lend any sort of credibility to her title reign. You know, she already seems like a little bit of a coward by backing out of the five star so that she can seemingly nominate her own opponents. I don't know. I the entire way that it was built was very strange. However, if we are going to lean into this Tora trying to destroy sort of Tam's psyche by beating her at her lowest point, then I'm willing to forgive it. I don't know how they do it. I'm very intrigued to see how they do it. But, you know, in a perfect world, that Tam versus Mayu match with both titles on the line could very, very, very well be the tastiest match of the year. But that's to be seen. And again, it's going to be really interesting to see what does main event. I imagine the five-star Grand Prix final, it should main event. And I think having that red belt as a buffer will help. I think the placement on the card will telegraph the result as well. I feel like if Tora is going to win, you keep it as a semi-main. However, if you're going to have Tam win, you know, having ended this extremely short reign of your big dominant heel champion, then that will probably go on last. It depends. What are your thoughts on sort of the way that this will affect Tora?
I think you can kind of do either or. Sorry, partner, not that. I just had an interesting thought. I think you can do either or, because now we have four matches that we're going to be on the edge of our seats for, because we know the fact that Tam and Momo are pretty much eliminated from this tournament. That kind of throws a wrench in I think just about everybody that I talked to and everybody that participated in our Patreon contest. And thank you, by the way, to all of our fantastic Patreon members. I think everybody had Tam and or Momo like in that bracket one way or another. The fact that we're not getting either of them, and now I understand because we're building towards Momo and Mercedes and Tam and Tora, that it's kind of up in the air. We don't, like, Mike has got a shot. Mayu's got a shot. I mean, who knows? Maybe they go in all in on Azumi. I wouldn't say no to that. Maybe Shuri. So, like, the fact that going into this five-star Grand Prix, we're going to have four matches that we really don't know who's going to win. Again, me and you both put up some really good arguments on why Tora should win and why Tam should win. So we don't know how the championship match is going to go. We don't know how the semifinals is going to go. We don't know how the finals is going to go. We do know we're going to get four fantastic matches on that final night of the five-star Grand Prix. So that's really interesting. Yeah, again, how they went about it. I get it. You need a Tam to eat all these L's so you can build towards the match. Because if Tam would have gotten any wins, then she would still be eligible for the finals. And I get you want to draw tickets. So I kind of understand that. And at the same time, everybody that has already beaten Tam in this tournament, you've already made them a bigger person. Like, look at Azumi. Like, again, she's never had a shot at the Wonder or World Championship. Tam has held the Wonder belt twice and the World belt once and made it to the finals of the 2022 Five-Star Grand Prix. So, and again, she pins Azumi cleanly in the middle of a sold-out Cork and Hall show. So now we've elevated Azumi. We've elevated Saeeda. Yes, please. We've been screaming that for 2 years. Yes, please. Saeeda getting a win over Tam Nakano. And then Tam losing to Mayu, which we'll never say no to, especially when the match is as good as it is. I mean, how do you go about it other than doing that way? Like, I understand. It's like we need to have the World of Stardom Championship match on the final night of the five-star Grand Prix because we want to have four blockbuster matches. I mean, they literally can sell this show as you're getting four main events and Rina versus Hina. And then who knows what else is on the undercard. So ultimately, my man, this August, it's red hot over here in the States, and it's going to be red hot in the world of Joshi. So it's kind of weird how they went about it. Again, I'm all about building somebody up towards a title shot, but I understand why they did it. Again, I'm not going to complain about Tam getting a World of Stardom Championship match on one of the biggest shows of the year. And again, if Tam does win, I mean, think about this visual, buddy. Tam wins the red belt in the co-main event, right? Mayu wins the five-star Grand Prix in the main event. Mayu's got the cape, the crown on. Hopefully, again, folks, if you've seen Mayu when she won the 2018 five-star Grand Prix, she had a heck of a time, Rob, if you remember, putting that crown on. Literally where every member of Stars was trying to help her and couldn't get that crown on. And it's Mayu, so it's like, It's forgiven. So just think, the confetti's going off, the fireworks going off. Tam's got the cape. She's got the crown on, she's holding up the IWGP championship, and then Tam comes out with the red belt, and pretty much the final thing that you see there is the two of them holding up their respective championships, and thus we begin to build towards Sumo Hall. I, again, maybe I'm just betting with my, I'm thinking with my heart here instead of my head. That's the way that I would go about it. But again, you made a lot of really good points on why Tora should retain. Regardless, we're going to be on the edge of our seats watching that match, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and I think if we are just sort of, you know, sort of dream booking that, Tam has to win, you know, finally getting that victory over Mayu. Of course, if Mayu wants to win the five-star Grand Prix, she's going to have to be the first person to win it twice. Again, this is a tournament of firsts. She did beat Momo for the first time in the five-star Grand Prix on Thursday, so maybe this will be that first time. But we'll wait and see. Obviously, we'll know a hell of a lot more come August 31st. The last night of the five-star Grand Prix, by the way, will be a pay-per-view. Purchase information will be announced shortly. Moving on to Marigold, and sort of keeping in theme with Dream Match. Matches following her and the Passion Sisters' loss to Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nagisa Nozaki on August 10th, Nanae Takahashi called out Arisa Nakajima. Now, Arisa Nakajima, a Joshi legend, has announced that she is on her retirement road, and actually, as of yesterday, had 4 days left until her retirement. So, Nanae called her out. And said, look, I want a match with you. Now, as if that wasn't enough, Nanae also said, and you should team with Sari. And sort of made a call, who's going to stand with me against these two? And Chika Goto got her hand up and raised and came down to the ring to say, I will stand with you, Nanae. And that match has since been made official. Corican Hall, August 19th, Julia's last match, Arrivederci, Nanae Takahashi and Chika Goto versus Sari and Arisa Nakajima. Matt, a bona fide dream match that we are being bought again by Marigold.
Yeah, when Arisa Nakajima announced her retirement, we were kind of hoping that we would get a few matches in Stardom and or Marigold. And we did get the one with the Best Friends versus Eye Contact, which was terrific. And then we did get a little greedy because we know we were getting Fujimoto versus Mayu. And we were like, can you imagine if we get Mayu versus Nakajima? Obviously, that's not happening. But we are getting another blockbuster tag match in Corican Hall where Sari and Arisa Nakajima, two of the hardest hitters to ever hit in wrestling, teaming together against the absolute legend that can still go, and Nanae Takahashi. And Chika Goto is very interesting to be inserted in this match. And then if you take a step back, the last Corican Hall show that Marigold ran was the semifinals and finals of the Twin Star Tag Team Championship. And all due respect to all the great wrestlers on that show, the Julias, the Saris, the Marais, nobody got over more than Chika Goto. And again, she lost in the semifinals. They were chanting her name as Koki Amari was basically, you know, trying to carry her out of Corican Hall, obviously, because she was selling, and she got massively over. So this is just Rossi saying, obviously being as smart as he is, having his finger on the pulse of the crowd in Corican Hall, saying, well, this is going to be a big match. This is going to be the only time I'm going to be able to book Arisa Nakajima in my company before she goes off to retirement. Let's take advantage of Chika Goto's getting crazy over. Now, there's a possibility, probably a very good possibility, that she's the one that eats the L here, but she's going to gain so much being in the ring with those three fantastic wrestlers. I think it's a great pull. I think this is going to add just to another stacked card in Cork and Hall. I mean, this is just insane, just the level of wrestling that we're getting, not only between the two wrestling companies that we love so much in Stardom and Marigold, but this is like in like four or five days, we get these two amazing Cork and Hall shows, my man. So definitely on our bucket list of a place to see wrestling in the next few years, brother. But yeah, I'm super excited for this one. I'm super excited for that that card. And I'm really glad that we are able to get one glimpse at Arisa Nakajima in Cork and Hall before she goes off into her retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And before I get into a little bit more on Nanae Takahashi and Arisa Nakajima, and this is all courtesy of Chris and Velkage on our Discord, so thank you to both of you guys, because I knew there was a history between these two, but I wasn't quite au fait with what that history was. Let's talk a minute about how big it is for Chika Goto to be in this match. You know, Nanae Takahashi, Arisa Nakajima, and Sari are in this match. The crimson red belt champion for Marigold, nonetheless. And it's Chika Goto that has been selected to stand alongside Nanae Takahashi. That's a huge sort of statement of belief from Marigold in the talent of Chika Goto. And we actually said, Matt, there was a tag match, the Twin Towers versus Julia and, was it Nanae? And we were talking about how well Chika Goto did in that match, and actually I believe it was Chika Goto who took the brunt of the offense and was sort of demanding that Julia continued to chop her and was holding on to the ropes, and maybe it's that resilience that Nanae likes. But I think it's a huge step for Chika Goto as a singles star, and we know that Marigold are hot on both of her and Koki Amore, but I'm so happy that she's the one that has got this opportunity. And again, it's all about elevating those people on the Marigold roster. Nanae is not going to be around forever. In fact, she's already announced to be whittling down her wrestling schedule following the Dream Star Grand Prix. I believe at the end of August, actually, she's going to be on more limited shows. Julia is literally finishing in Marigold on that show as well. And actually, following her own match with Miku Aono on the 10th of August, she says, you're going to have to lead Marigold in my absence. And you're going to have to start elevating these people. And I think that's a great way of elevating Chika Goto to that. Is she, you know, top of the company level yet? No, she's not. However, alongside Koki Amore, I'd say she is one of the most improved on the roster. So giving her that opportunity, saying, right, here's the ball, run with it. I'm really excited to see what she does with it, Matt.
Yeah, again, we're all about establishing new stars. And Chika Goto, Koki Amore, Miko Ano, Natsumi Shozuki, I mean, what a great crop of talent. Again, we mention this all the time. These are wrestlers that we have never seen wrestle before Marigold, and we're completely blown away by how great they are, especially Chika Goto and Koki Amore being so new and younger in their career and how well they're connecting with the crowd. So, again, this is a great pull. This is a great shot in the arm to basically catch lightning in a bottle to get Go, Go, Chika! Chant very loud in Cork and Hall on Monday morning. Well, Monday morning for us.
Yes, absolutely. Monday morning for us. I'll be able to watch it live, which is very, very good. In terms of the feud, I do just want to shout out Ryan Dilbert on Wrestling has done a little bit of a rundown of the Arisa Nakajima and Nanae Takahashi feud called Fury, Pure and Silver. And this was shared with us by Chris over on the Discord. Big fan of Chris. Spent a lot of time with her during WrestleMania week, and she's absolutely lovely. In terms of Nanae and Arisa, they had a hair versus hair match in Seedling. For the 2000, back in 2019 for the Beyond the Sea Championship, which is Seedling's top championship. And Velkage actually helped a little bit by just saying, quote, the last thing Nanae did in the promotion that she started was she left. And she was basically, I think she was sort of in the process of maybe retiring when she did leave or had alluded to retirement. And she received an open contract from Arisa Nakajima to come back anytime she wanted and get the title shot. And Valkyrie continues, now it's Nakajima who's retiring, not Nanae. It's their last chance to be in the ring together. They're both broken down and it's too late for anything more than just a goodbye. To hit each other really hard, to headbutt each other one more time. For good old time's sake, it's done. Over, they will not do this anymore the last time. And I think that's such a powerful sort of backstory in this match. Yes, they've had this brutal feud throughout Seedling especially. However, now it's the twilight of their careers. Arisa Nakajima, you know, retires in what, 4 days, 3 days, something like that. Nanae Takahashi is wending her way down. To see these two Joshi legends effectively say, right, one more time for good luck. One more time for the road. Let's do this. That's really quite powerful, Matt, isn't it?
It's beautiful, too. I mean, it really is beautiful. When you talk about like great retirement matches, obviously here in the States or anybody that watches the big company, the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels one from Mania 24, which I know wasn't technically Ric Flair's last match. But that's a good way to go out. We talk about the Muda. I mean, you want to talk about a retirement tour. That last thing lasted 2 years, where he did a final Great Muda in New Japan, a final Keiji Muda in New Japan, a final this or that. So, like, I always go to the Kobashi one, like, because who do you pick for your final opponent, right? And obviously, Kobashi, the final burn, he wanted Misawa to be there. Misawa had obviously passed away, but he was able to have the new crop in there with the Kentas, and then he you know, his buddies over there and with Jun Akiyama and whatnot. So that's a cool way to go out, where Arisa Nakajima is kind of doing the same thing, where she's like, she's going on this little retirement tour. She's going to wrestle who she can wrestle. And obviously the main reason why she's retiring, and she said it when she announced her retirement, is that her body just can't do it anymore. So it's not like, hey, you know, I can still do it at the highest level. I just kind of want to get out and do something different. She's not going to be, I mean, she looked great in that match with Best Friends versus Eye Contact. Don't get me wrong, but she can't keep up with that style that she has. So I think we're going to see Sari and Chikagoto do a lot of the heavy lifting in this match, and that's fine. We're going to see Nanae and Arisa Nakajima kind of play the hits, which is fine. You know, that's what we want them to do. That's what we're paying to do. We're seeing this band one last time, and we don't want them to play the deep cuts. We want them to play the hits to send Arisa Nakajima, an absolute Joshi legend and a first ballot Hall of Famer, and any Hall of Famers, you know, in their ballot, off into the sunset with nothing but love. But Rob, not to put you on the spot, brother, and I know that this has been announced, and I just, for the life of me, I can't remember what it is. Do you know what Arisa Nakajima's actual retirement match is? Is it her and Fujimoto in a singles?
Do you know what? I don't actually know. I will have a quick look and see if I can find it, because I feel like you're right. I feel like it has been announced. Here we go. The retirement show on August 23rd. There you go. Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto, the best friends, in a tag match against Hiroyu Matsumoto and Hanako Nakamori. So apparently that is, that's at least the Seedling retirement show for Arisa Nakajima. Whether that is the actual retirement match, I don't know.
I'd like to see her do Mako Satomura since they're both retiring. But then again, I'm getting a little greedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be really good to see this. I'm very, very, very excited. Let's have a look then at the two shows that we're going to be looking at. Marigold Ranch shows on August the 10th and August the 12th, as both the Marigold Summer Gold Shine Tour and the Julia Countdown Road both wend their way through Saitama and Yokohama. We're getting ever so close now to Julia's final match in Marigold. We're going to start, though, with night 8 of the Summer Gold Shine Tour, which was Saturday, the 10th of August, 2024. Miko Aono's homecoming show from the Kawago Espoir Isanuma in Saitama. I'm just going to claim I got that out pretty well. The matches are as follows, and the results are as follows. The Dreamstar Grand Prix 2024 qualifier, Kazuna Tanaka defeated Kamome Maname with the Redream in 7 minutes and 28 seconds to qualify for the Dreamstar Grand Prix. It's a similar story in the next match with Victoria Yuzuki defeating Myla Grace with a half rotation shrimp hold in 7 minutes and 10 seconds to also qualify for the final field. Six-woman tag match, Mirai, Mai Sakurai, and Misa Matsui versus the Twin Towers, Koki Amore and Chika Goto, and Natsumi Shozuki ended in a 15-minute time limit draw. Six-woman tag, Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nagisa Nozaki defeated the Passion Sisters, Nanae Takahashi and Naoishikawa, and a returning Utami Hayashishita, with Bozilla pinning Naoishikawa with the Driller Hole Pile Driver in 13 minutes and 24 seconds. And then in your main event, a singles match, Miko Aono versus Julia, Matt, you called it, ended in a time limit draw of 20 minutes. Matt, let's talk then about the opening matches, the Grand Prix qualifiers. Initially, this was supposed to be Kazuna Tanaka versus Zeta Steel. Zeta Steel is still out with a little bit of lower back pain. Ryo Sato also is out with a rib fracture. What did you think about these two qualifiers? And did the right people qualify in your eyes?
Real quick, buddy, I don't know if you announced it and I just missed it. What was the house on this show?
I didn't, and I realized afterwards it was 355 people.
Again, I'm a big fan by the numbers, but that's how you know if you're growing and doing better. If they go back and they draw more people, we know that that they're doing very, very well. But thank you for that, brother. Did the right people go over? I'm trying to think of something funny, but the Repo Man should have won and the Killer Bees. No, the right people went over. When they announced these qualifying matches, we were pretty much like, we think we know who's going over. They're putting a lot of stock in Kazuna Tanaka, and obviously they have very high hopes for Victoria Yuzuki. And these two wrestlers are phenomenal as a tag team, considering the fact they were kind of a makeshift team to put on Summer Destiny, and they really seemed like they had something on the very first outing. But Kamome Maname against somebody I'm really, really impressed with. I like how she uses her judo background. At least I think she has a judo background to get into submission holds, very much like Hanan. Really good stuff there. Kazuna Tanaka, she's just terrific. Really, really good stuff. And she's got a cool name for her finisher. That seems to be just something that just happens to go in Japan. I think that once you pass your protest in Japan, then you have to go sit in a classroom for 2 hours and come up with really cool names for your tag team, your catchphrase.
I hope that's
and your
true.
Finisher. Yeah, I think so. I heard when, and I'm dialing it back here, when I was lucky enough to do a seminar with Brian Danielson and Kenta years ago when I was just graduated from the Ring of Honor Dojo. But Kenta was translator was saying that in order for you to pass your protest in NOAH, the last thing you have to do is you have to take 100 bumps in a row. And if not every one of them is clean, you have to start over. So say you're on bump 92 and Misawa, God rest his soul, who was at the time, was the one to give you your pass your protest. If by bump 92, it wasn't as clean as he liked it, you would start over from one, which that's insane. My guess is then they have to go come up with crazy names like the Redream, which I absolutely love. Anywho, back on track here. I thought this match is terrific. Kamome Maname, she's great. Kazuna Tanaka, really good stuff. I like how they were kind of going back and forth with the armbar submissions. Awesome stuff there. Again, if you know Minoru Tanaka, Kazuna Tanaka's dad, he was very big into the armbar submissions, and he did this insane spinning armbar, which to this day, 20-some-odd years later, I still have no idea how he got into it. I would love to see Kazuna do, you know, adopt her dad's finisher in the spinning armbar, but the Redream, really cool stuff. Great match. Fact that it went less than 8 minutes, they didn't wear out their welcome. They showed what they're able to do. Good way to start this fantastic card off. I actually had it at 3.5 stars.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I'll be perfectly honest, we're going to be talking about Victoria Yuzuki as the prodigy, as we do every single episode, because she is truly fantastic. But I thought she had what was Myla Grace's strongest singles match. And actually, I think as she's progressed throughout her tour with Japan, it's actually a little bit of a shame to see her not qualify for this tournament. Obviously, you can't have everyone. And on the balance of who I think is going to benefit most from being in the tournament, who do I think deserves to be in the tournament, I think Victoria Yuzuki ticks that box. However, in terms of improvement, I think Myla Grace has done a tremendous job. She's a lot cleaner. She's a lot smoother. She's a lot more organic. And there's a lot less sort of stumbling in transition and things like that. And I think obviously with reps, she's become very, very, very confident in what she's doing, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, this match starts off with a lot of really great stuff. You get some high-paced action to start, and then they get into some technical wrestling. And then Myla Grace, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago when I did a solo podcast, because you were getting ready for the Mammoth 5-Star Grand Prix, that I wonder if she has some teachings from Alex Shelley. Because not only does she use the Border City stretch, the way she transitions into it and builds to it, it reminds me a lot of Ring of Honor version of Alex Shelley. And that's something that if we get the opportunity, knock on wood, to interview her, that I would definitely love to ask her. And that is a great person to be able to shadow and learn from, is one Alex Shelley, one of the greatest technical wrestlers of the last 25 to 30 years. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Everything she's done over the last few months, she's cleaned everything up. Everything feels more organic. It seems like each and every week we say that's her best match, or that's one of her best matches. It's like, oh boy, howdy, she's improved so much. And she has here. And again, two great matches back to back to start the show off. And after the second match, we know who our two final qualifiers are, in Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki. And Victoria Yuzuki looks like the star that she is here. Excellent stuff from these two. A great back and forth, almost like 50-50 match. With eventually, though, Victoria Yuzuki getting the win with that modified crucifix bomb. 7 minutes, 10 seconds. Very much like match number one, brother. I had it at 3.5 stars.
And I think it's really interesting as well that Myla Grace then goes on to have another really good match with Natsumi Shozuki. Of course, Natsumi Shozuki's fantastic and she could have a great match brought blindfolded. But even so, I think the good matches keep coming with Myla Grace, and she really has so far been a little bit of a success story in terms of this this Japanese tour. Yes, that does fill out the Marigold participation on the Dreamstar Grand Prix. Chikagoto, Victoria Yuzuki and Kazuna Tanaka all qualifying for the tournament. And as we know, that last spot in the tournament that was sort of held up as a for other promotions has been offered to Nori of LLPWX. People will be familiar, or Marigold fans will be familiar with her for her participation on the Summer Destiny card. Did really well there. I don't know whether it's been officially confirmed that she is part of the field, but I imagine that she probably is, with them doing the thing with Tokyo Sports and having the pictures taken and things like that. I imagine that it's going to be Nori, which will be really, really good. Obviously, we have the Corican Hall show coming up on Monday, which we would preview, but there's no card announced for it yet. I imagine that will be where we get our confirmation of block breakdowns, and that Nori is the last official participant in the tournament as well. Looking then to the 6-woman tag match, Mirai Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui, Twin Towers and Natsumi Shozuki. Much as I really enjoyed the Mai Sakurai and Koki Amore exchanges in particular, this was another encounter to add to the book that is Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki. And I thoroughly enjoyed when the bell had rung, Natsumi Shozuki throwing her ice pack at Misa Matsui in a proper sign of petulance. I'm a big fan of that. But Misa Matsui very, very nearly got the victory over the Superfly champion, Matt.
Yeah, again, this is, you basically have your finals of your two tournaments here all in one match, and phenomenal. I mean, I'll tell you right now, 4 stars, phenomenal 4 stars match for me with Mariah Mae Sakurai versus the Tokyo Towers didn't make it to the finals. But we did. The fact that me and you thought they would make it to the finals, but we do know that if they want to go this way for a V1 or V2 with the Tokyo Towers, Chikagoto and Kokiyamare taking on Mirai and Mai Sakurai, you know it's going to be a great match, and it's going to do really good business for Marigold. And again, we had Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki in kind of an undercard show stealer in that phenomenal Summer Destiny show. And nobody misses here. Everything is really, really good stuff. We have great tag work here with Mirai and Mai Sakurai versus the Tokyo Towers, you know, Goto and Amore. So we're kind of teasing that, and we're kind of getting a glimpse of what that match would look like in just in a proper tag team setting, whether it goes 15 or 20 minutes. And it would be awesome. The one pairing in this match that I was really entertained by, Rob, was Mai Sakurai and Natsumi Shozuki. I think with Natsumi Shozuki trying to use her outspeed to speed Mai Sakurai, where eventually Mai Sakurai is just like, no, I'm going to catch you and I'm going to put you in the paradise lock. And you kind of had that in the early setting. It was kind of like, oh, we're setting kind of a little fun stuff here with some really good psychology. I really, really like that. Have you noticed, partner, I've been meaning to bring this up to you on this podcast, and may as well do it now. Have you noticed two of Big Chikagoto's moves that she does is the choke slam and the giant swing? Now, Mr. Goodwin, do you know what to, and I know you're gonna give me the wrong answer at first because that's part of our charm. Do you know what Joshi wrestler loves to use, the giant swing and the choke slam?
Well, that would be one Queen Clown. No, of course, is Lady C, who did a fantastic job in that opening tag.
How about that? I thought that was really cool. But I like how Chikagoto, she'll do the giant swing in the beginning of the match, and then as you're building towards your waterfall finishes, like how everybody, especially in a multi-person match, she does like a reverse giant swing. I was like, oh, I don't know which one I would rather not take, because they all seem terrible. I want to be as dizzy in a wrestling ring. But yeah, regardless, really great stuff. And then you get some good stuff with Mirai and Natsumi Shozuki. And then Mariah just lariating everybody. And then you get towards the end where it's just basically the last minute and a half. Everybody kind of clears out and they just let Misa Matsui, Natsumi Shozuki do what they need to do. Excellent, excellent stuff. Great, great match. And really just building and adding on to what was a fantastic show. Again, for me, partner, 4 stars for me. And I would love to see these six ladies run this back in a 6-person tag match, because everybody really got over what they needed to get over. And again, it looks like we may be building somewhere towards the line, down the line, to a rematch of that finals for the flyweight championship with Misa Matsumi and Natsumi Shozuki as well. It really seems they're planting the seeds for Chikagoto and Kokiyamare to challenge Mirai and Mai Sakurai for the Twin Star Tag Team Championships, which I'm all for seeing those matches. Again, excellent, excellent match, really building towards what was an excellent show. 4 stars for me.
Yeah, another really, really good multi-woman tag. And Marigold have sort of prided themselves on these really good multi-women tags. And when you consider that you've got the likes of Mirai, Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui, Natsumi Shozuki, Utami, Nanae Takahashi later on the card in these multi-women tag on a regular basis, they're only going to be of a certain quality, aren't they? Let's be perfectly honest. And that goes for the semi-main event as well, because I thought this match was tremendous. You know, it's only when you see Utami again that you realize how much you've missed her. And I know that she's only missed, I think she's missed 2 shows, but it feels like she's missed about 3 months. I think she's been absent for 3 weeks, or it's been 3 weeks since she's teamed with the Passion Sisters anyway. But it feels like she's been missing for so long. And I felt like they didn't introduce her properly into this match. She was, you know, she was sort of held back a little bit as they sort of bled her in a little bit. Now Ishikawa did a lot of the heavy lifting in this. And by heavy lifting, I mean being absolutely buffeted from pillar to post by all 3 of the heels. Bozilla with Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki, I am all here for seeing them as a big heel trio, Matt.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This was a simple story to tell. You know, Utami Hayashista, in my opinion, she, and you'll probably agree with me, she's the best wrestler in this company, even if you're including Sari and Julia, which, again, I know obviously Julia's leaving, but that just goes to, and Sari's terrific, but she's a freelancer. That just goes to show you what I think of Utami Hayashista. I think she's just on another level than 99% of the wrestlers in any wrestling company. And then Nanae Takahashi, you just can't help but to love her at this point, just with the passion, and how much legit passion she puts into every single one of her matches. And now Ishikawa is just that lovable baby face that just gets the dog beat out of her. God bless her. She does not have a single win here in Marigold in the handful of months that they started. And that is kind of like that's like the gimmick. That's the charm that is now Ishikawa. And she has so much fire, so much fighting spirit. You just can't help but to cheer for her, especially when she's taking the heat, especially in this match from killers like Bozilla, like Chiaki and Agisa Nozaki. I mean, there's just a long heat, but Utami does a great job working the apron, and then Nai Takahashi as well, because she's now Ishikawa's tag partner, does a great job getting the crowd involved and getting invested in the hot tag. That's the gimmick of this match. This match starts off with a wild brawl, and then now Ishikawa takes a long, long heat that eventually when Nanae Takahashi comes in for the hot tag, the people are ready for it. And that's the charm. I tell people all the time in tag team wrestling, when the babyface is taking the heat, whether it's 1 minute or 10 minutes, the tag partner on the outside needs to be doing their role. They can't just be sitting there holding the tag rope, which they should be holding the tag rope, by the way, folks. Follow the rules. You need to be channeling your partner along. Come on, get up, fight back, fight back. You need to get the crowd involved. That's what they need to do, because it makes that hot tag spot, when they finally do hit that hot tag, so much more. So when they come in for that big baby face pop, Nanae Takahashi gets it. Eventually Utami comes in, she gets it. They're cleaning house. I would love to see Utami and Nanae Takahashi take on Chiaka and Nagisa Nozaki somewhere down the line, because I think that would be a really hard-hitting, fun match. Bozilla, they do a great job. Utami and Nanae Takahashi are powerhouses in their own right. Double teaming Bozilla to kind of show some kinks in the armor, you know, a little dent in the helmet, if you will, for your X-Men fans when they used to fight the Juggernaut. So that's a great, I think they should call Bozilla the Juggernaut. Anywho, I thought that was really, really excellent stuff. Eventually, though, Bozilla is able to mount her comeback off. Her and now Ishikawa go back and forth. There's some really cool spots here where Chiaki accidentally hitting the chair, Rob, on Bozilla, and then now Ishikawa rolls up Bozilla. And I knew the finish of this match because I read the spoilers, and I even bit on that falsie for like a second and a half. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is where now Ishikawa gets her first win in a six-person tag match on Bozilla, and the place would have popped because they were ready for it in the build of this match. Ultimately, Bozilla hits the Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff-style, insane pile driver on poor now Ishikawa to get the pinfall. Excellent match that had to follow another excellent match. 4 stars for me, my man. Just great storytelling here.
Yeah, this was actually my favorite match of the show. I thoroughly enjoyed the storytelling. I thoroughly enjoyed Nao Ishikawa's performance in this. I think she was the star of this show. That visual of Bozilla being rolled up whilst wearing that chain as a necklace, that chair as a necklace, was really quite good. I think Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki. Chiaki, it's worth noting, who is still obviously struggling with that head injury, still got obviously a heavy bandage on and the bandana, so fair play for her for carrying on. I think overall, though, now Ishikawa, who she does have victories, it is worth pointing out, she's just never got the pinfall in those victories. She has relied on her passion sister, Nanae, for that. Speaking of Nanae, obviously, post-match, this is where she does her appeal to Arisa Nakajima, which again has been made official for Corican Hall. Main event, Matt, Miko Anno versus Julia, ending in a 20-minute time limit draw. I wasn't disappointed with this by any stretch of the imagination. It was a good match, a really good match. But I think these two are capable of a great match. Am I being too critical, or do you think that these two definitely have more that they can offer?
First of all, I mean, I agree with you. They could definitely have a better match, but everybody can have a better match,
true,
right?
Yes,
except
of course.
Maybe Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. They're like, they're not going to have a much better match than that. I mean, it's a very rare occasion. They almost did that Mania 26. Another story for another day. But you can always have a better match. As you know, we can always have a better podcast. You know, you can always be better than what you were before. But I see your point. I totally agree with you. I thought this was really, really good. Maybe my expectations, very much like yours and maybe everybody else's, was insanely high for this match. Maybe unfairly too high. I had it at 4 stars. I figured I would have rated it 4.5 to 5 stars the week prior because of just how great Julia is and how much fire Miko Anno is, like, just absolutely just white hot. And this is Julia's one of her fine. This is her second or final singles match that she's having before she comes over here to the States for NXT and WWE. So you figure, like, this, and it's Miko Anno's hometown. So you figure this would be really, really special. Maybe that's unfair to Miko Anno and Julia. Did they get to the high bar that I had? No, but they were very close. They were right there. Just really seemed like they started out with a very slow pace, which, you know, it's going to get closer to the time limit. They had 20 minutes to work with. And then they take you on that emotional roller coaster, up and down, up and down. And then even to the point where Julia's like, I need to be healing this match because my job here is to get Miko Anno over. And it's her hometown. And she decides to take the flowers that Miko Anno got for her hometown homecoming and beat the poor pure white belt champion with it, which she got a chorus of boos. And then when Miko Anno fired up, it meant that just more. I'm assuming Julia probably called that as an audible. Regardless, I thought that was a good call. Very smart from Julia. She's a very, very smart wrestler. But it really seemed like we got to these last 3 or 4 minutes. It just seemed like the two of them weren't on the same page. It really seemed like Julia was trying to scoop Miko Anno up for the Glorious Driver. And Miko Anno was either trying to go off to the side or their timing was off, which happens from time to time. And it just really seemed like as we're getting to those last few minutes, it just seemed like the two of them weren't clicking how they were for the first 17, 18 minutes, give or take. And I just don't know what happened there. Not only that, but if, like, you're going to go to the time limit draw, and we made mention when Julia had her last 5 matches, I'm like, if there's one match that she needs to eat the L in, it's Miko Anno, because you need to get Miko Anno over to that next level, and you're going to get the belt over. I don't have a problem with the time limit draw. The only thing is that last 45, 50 seconds should have just been Miko Anno dominating Julia. Again, to the point that if this is an MMA fight and it's going to the judge's decision, that every single judge is like, even though it wasn't a finish, Miko Anno won that match, won that fight, what have you. Whereas a more 50-50 thing, like maybe I would have Miko Anno just blitzing her with those brutal kicks and then maybe hitting the Styles Clash, maybe having Julia kick out of the Styles Clash, and then have Miko Anno hit the Styles Clash again right afterwards, only for the time limit to expire. I would have had really Miko Anno dominate that last 45 to 60 seconds in the end, leaving no doubt that Miko Anno was the more dominant wrestler towards the end, thus building her up for the permanent main event scene, since, again, Julia's on her way out. Again, I thought this was a really good match. 4 stars to me. It was, just seemed like they was just missing something. And again, maybe it was that miscommunication they had those last few minutes. And I would like to see Miko Anno more dominant towards the end of the match when the bell rang for the old TLD partner.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why I thought as well. I had it at 3.5. It was a good match. Like you said, it was a good match, and there's no getting away from that. It wasn't quite the blowaway match I think I expected. And maybe a little bit of that is Miko Anno not dominating Julia. And obviously, we don't expect her to, you know, thoroughly dominate Julia. She's a huge star, and her trying to get herself booed throughout this match, despite everyone loving her, I think was quite funny. I know that she also attacked Daisuke Shima, who was the gentleman who came and gave Miko Anno the flowers. I believe he's a television personality and a singer as well. But yeah, it felt like it got into third gear, but never quite into fourth. And yeah, whether it was just a slight miscommunication or personally, it felt for me, and I know I said this on the Stardom Cast about another match, it felt very much like a 17-minute match dragged out for a 20-minute match. And you could tell that they were sort of almost not necessarily padding for time, because that seems quite disrespectful, but you could see that there was a couple of, like you said, I think you described it best, miscommunications. However, when we are arguing, or when we're talking about, you know, a 3.5-star, 3.75-star match, and saying it's, you know, they're capable of a better match, that's testament to how good these wrestlers are, and the fact that they've upped our expectations to the fact that we start with such a high bar for these wrestlers. It's if anything, it's a very twisted compliment, if you will. But yes, overall, it was a really nice way to end Miko Anno's homecoming show. She got the tape. She got the really good reception. She had a lovely silver braid in her hair. She got a gentleman giving her flowers. It was a really nice, heartwarming match I wish it could just have hit that final gear to really give us that that really, really hard-hitting final closing segment, but it wasn't quite to be. Let's move on then to the second night that we are going to be talking about, which, of course, is the, as I just try and find my notes, there we are, the Summer Goldshine 2024 Night 9. This was from the Hodegoya Civic Auditorium in Kanagawa, 12th of August, and 373 people in attendance. The results are as follows, as he desperately tries to find his notes, because his notes reset, because that's what happens when my iPad goes to sleep. Let's just quickly get those back up. And there we are. We started off with a singles match. Natsumi Shozuki defeating Myla Grace in 5 minutes and 5 seconds with an inside cradle. We then follow with another singles match. Bozilla absolutely murdering poor Kazuna Tanaka. 6 minutes and 9 seconds. Bozilla pinning her with the driller hole pile driver. We then moved on to a tag team match. The Twin Towers, Chika Goto and Koki Amare, getting the victory over Victoria Yuzuki and Kamomo Minami. Chika Goto getting the pinfall over Minami in 9 minutes and 32 seconds with the chokeslam. We then moved on to our semi-main event, a tag team match. Mirai and Utami Hayashishita defeating the tag team of Miku Aono and Misa Matsui, with Utami gaining the pinfall over Misa Matsui with a German suplex, following assistance from a Mirai lariat. And then finally, in your main event, 6-woman tag match, Chiaki, Nagisa Nozaki, and Julia defeating the team of Nao Ishikawa, Mai Sakurai, and Nanae Takahashi, with Chiaki pinning Nao Ishikawa in 21 minutes and 59 seconds with the Fisherman's Buster. Matt, what was worth watching on this show? What were your favorite matches, and what would you like to talk about?
That's a right good one. Can you give me the time for the co-main event with Utami and Mirai versus Misa and Miko Ano?
I can indeed. You are more than welcome. 13 minutes and 4 seconds. I don't think I actually said it, so there you are.
Regardless, what a team. But since we're talking about this, this match was my favorite match of these two shows, with Utami Hayashishita and Mirai versus Miko Ano and Misa Matsui. It was a few months ago where I believe it was either a tag match or a 6-person tag match, that Utami and Miko Ano are on opposite sides. And me and you were texting each other just a handful of hours after the show dropped, like, that's a match we need to see. I was like, damn right it is. And maybe it's a block final or maybe an overall final for the first winner of the Dream Star Grand Prix coming up here in just about a month's time, because their stuff was terrific. Misa Matsui and Utami Hayashishita. Obviously, Misa works that high-speed style. Utami, we've seen her be able to have great high-speed style matches with the likes of Izumi, with the likes of Mei Sara. Obviously, Natsupoi star like Kid as well. That just goes to show you what a great wrestler Utami Hayashishita is all around. I don't need to tell you part of it, I'm going to tell you. Anytime you get me, Rai, and Miko Ano in the ring together, whether it's a singles tag, it's always going to be hard-hitting and great, great magic. And these two did not disappoint. The times they were in the ring, you can just feel, just these two do not like each other. Obviously, Miko Ano does have that big win that helped her get the white belt. And Mirai does have the win in the tag match that helped her get the Twin Star Tag Team Championship. So this feud is not done yet, not by a long shot. You can always put them together and then bring them back out and then bring them back together again. It's always going to be really good stuff. And the finish was great, with just Utami Hayashishita just deadlifting Misa Matsui for Mirai to hit the clothesline. And then Utami puts the final nail in the coffin of the match for Misa Matsui, hitting that beautiful bridging German suplex. I had it 4.25 stars. Like I said, partner, it was my favorite match of this show. But do not count out match number one. We talked about how great Myla Grace was in that match just 2 days prior. Her match here with Natsumi Shozuki was even better. Natsumi Shozuki and Myla Grace have really underrated chemistry together, great chemistry together. Again, just showing how great of a professional wrestler that Natsumi Shozuki is, and how far Myla Grace has come along in such a short time. 3 3/4 stars. You talked about poor Kazuna Tanaka. I will give her credit. She has the heart of a lion because, like, Bozilla gets in the ring, the bell rings, and Kazuna Tanaka's like, the heck with it. And she just runs right into Bozilla. It's like one person running into an army, just runs right into Bozilla and just fires off these forearms. And Bozilla, to her credit, she made Kazuna Tanaka build up her strikes before she started selling and giving her a little bit of the match, which I thought was really good. This was a really entertaining match. Obviously, the Chikagoto and Kokiyamare, they work so well together as a team. Vittoria Yuzuki, she's terrific. And Kamome Minami, she fits in really well with Vittoria Yuzuki. We talk about if we're eventually going to go into factions, because we know that's what Rossi obviously did in Stardom. If we're going to start creating factions towards the end of the year, you mentioned Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nozaki, excuse me. They would be a great heel faction. I would love to see Kamome Minami, Vittoria Yuzuki, and Kazuna Tanaka as basically your baby face, you know, rookie or out of your rookie, you know, gate faction. Because these three work really well together as a tag team. But the match was excellent. And the main event, you had hard-hitting action. Again, Nagisa Nozaki, Chiaki, and Julia. Again, if Julia was sticking around, I would put her with these two because they work really well together. Back in the day, like a year ago, Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki would fit really well into Julia's Donald Del Mundo because they just the badass wrestlers. They don't mind bending the rules a little bit in order to get the advantage. Obviously, Mei Sakurai, she's terrific here. Nanae Takahashi, her and Julia's exchanges were terrific. Unfortunately, the role here fell upon now Ishikawa just getting pummeled. Again, that's kind of her role in the Passion Sisters. And it makes you invested into the babyface selling that is now Ishikawa. The majority of this match, though, partner, was just to build up, to sell tickets for Julia and Mai Sakurai for that Cork and Hall show coming up here in just a few days' time. And they did it, and they did it really, really well. Mai Sakurai basically comes at Julia full force. I mean, she does not back down from the former World of Stardom champion. Excellent stuff. Really excited to see the Julia Mai Sakurai match coming up in Cork and Hall this Monday. I had it at 4 stars. But again, folks, if you're pressed for time, I mean, these shows were really, really short, only 5 matches apiece. But if you're pressed for time and have not seen the show from the 12th, definitely, definitely make the investment to see Misa Matsu and Nico Ano take on the team. Utami Hayashista and Mirai was a phenomenal, fantastic tag team match.
I think it's worth pointing out, isn't it, really, that Mirai and Utami have got such fantastic chemistry as a team. And there was an interview that went round with Mirai who said she'd always seen herself as more of a singles competitor. And in her time in Marigold, she's actually, aside from obviously the slow singles matches with Miko Aono, it's very much been about her in teams with Mai Sakurai, with Utami. She's the most winningest person on the start on the Marigold roster at the moment with 14 victories, just beating out the likes of Koki Amore with 13. So clearly she's found a niche and she works really well with a whole load of people. Like her stuff in the ring with Miko Aono, we said how there was potentially a little bit of miscommunication in the Julia match towards the end. However, there's effortless chemistry between her and Mirai in this match and throughout every match that they've had. I think that's really, really obvious. Julia actually says in her post-match promo, just going on to that main event, about how she wished she'd discovered Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki earlier, which again, you know, aside from enlisting those two as one of her a pair of her teammates on this countdown road, I think it's really important that Julia continues to put over different members of the roster so that they can pull the company forward. And yeah, it is a shame that we're not going to see more Julia teaming with Nagisa Nozaki and with Chiaki. But I think having that endorsement from Julia is just as important, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically getting the stamp of approval on a big, big star. And again, it's not like Julia is leaving to go participate in another sport. It's not like she's leaving to retire. She's leaving to go to the biggest wrestling company in the world. So it's you're getting your stamp. Not only that, but this is a company that has been trying to get Julia in their camp for a long, long time. So you're getting the stamp on a big, big star like Julia can only be a good thing for all those wrestlers that she's given the thumbs up to.
Yeah, absolutely. Two very, very short but enjoyable shows from Marigold. These Road 2 shows, and you know, I don't mean Road 2 in a disparaging way, just your less major shows, if you like. The shows that are airing on tape delay and things on Wrestle Universe are always really, really easy to watch. They're fun, they're quick, and the matches are always a really good quality as well. So credit to Marigold for that. And obviously we are building to this Corican Hall show on the 19th, which is Julia's last match, Arrivederci. So far, I've seen 3 matches confirmed for this card. We are only 3 days out and we haven't had a full rundown, which means the moment that we post this, we're dropping this on Saturday the 17th, the morning of Saturday the 17th. It means that the card will be announced and will immediately date this episode. But even so, the confirmed matches for that so far are Julia versus Mai Sakurai in Julia's last match in Japan. For now, we have also got Miko Aono being challenged for the first time for her United National Championship by Koki Amore, and then that aforementioned tag match we talked about in the news segment of this episode. We have got Nanae Takahashi teaming with Chika Goto against the team of Arisa Nakajima and Sari. Matt, couple of things. What do you think of this card overall in comparison to other Corican Hall shows? What sort of crowd do you think we're going to bring into Corican, especially with this being Julia's last match in Japan? And also, what do you see some of the results being? We talked a little bit and we maybe disagreed a little bit about what happens in the match between Mai Sakurai and Julia. I think we're both in agreement that Miko Aono doesn't drop the belt to Koki Amore, even though Koki has been very, very impressive over the last couple of weeks. And obviously, in this Nanae and Arisa Nakajima tag match, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I made mention of it at the start of the show, went over the news. As far as that tag match goes, I think Chika Goto is the one that's going to eat the fall, but she's going to come out of this match better than she did going in. Sorry, there's not much more that she can do. I mean, really, other than beat Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship at next year's WrestleMania, because she's just unbelievable, everything that she's doing. Not only as a wrestler, as a booker. We made mention a few days ago on the Stardom cast that she booked Mayu. Like, unbelievable. I agree with you that it's going to Miko Aono is going to retain. I see her having a long run with that belt, and rightfully so. Question for you, partner. What main events this show? And the reason why I asked you this, and I think you know we're going to go with this, in my opinion, the biggest star that Rossi's booked over the last 10 or so years is Io Shirai. When Io left to go to WWE, her final match, which was a great match, it was her and Mayu versus Suzuki and Kagetsu, was not the main event of that Corican Hall show. It was Momo Watanabe defending the Wonder, their white belt, Wonder of Stardom Championship against Jungle Kiona. So you have a big star in Julia, very much to go to WWE in her final match before she goes on this card. And you also have Miko Aono, who's a big star, very much like Momo Watanabe was and obviously still is, defending the Wonder of Stardom Championship. So we know that even though Rossi is a big, big star on his hands like Julia, he's not afraid to put the championship match to go on last, thus showing the importance of that match. So in your opinion, brother, what do you think goes on last?
It's a really interesting thought, because I think all 3 of these matches that have been announced have, or could, sorry, main event this Corican Hall show.
Good point. Boy, brother, you're smart.
Thank you. I personally think it'll be Julia. The entire show is centered around it being Julia's last match. You know, the entire show is called Arrivederci. It's her on the promotional artwork. It's her that we've had this countdown for. If you look at Io Shirai's last match, you could make the argument that Momo Watanabe and Jungle Kiona, who of course were entrusted with having that that last match on that show, were more established stars than Koki Amore and Miko Aono. If they are to main event, I think that's great. I think that really does show the trust that Rossi and the rest of the Marigold backroom staff have in Miko Aono and Koki Amore. But I would be very surprised if anything other than the Julia match, it main events. I think it's huge for Mai Sakurai to be in the main event as well against Julia, for her to be the final opponent. I think we all thought it was going to be Utami. I wonder, would it have been Mai Sakurai had Utami not been ill? It's intriguing to look back at that. However, Mai Sakurai has got an absolutely fantastic opportunity here, a huge opportunity to really knock it out of the park. And the reason I asked about sort of results is because this is the match that I find most intriguing. Because ultimately, this is going to be the footprint that Julia leaves on Marigold. You know, if she does come back, which I do think she will, for the odd show, she's going to be facing an Utami in sort of an exhibition match or even a title match. This will be the mark she leaves this match here. It'll be the end of her full-time sort of participation in Marigold. So do you have her put Mai Sakurai over? Now, I know there'll be the argument, well, she didn't put Miko Aono over in Miko Aono's hometown. However, Miko Aono is, I don't know. I think Miko Aono probably should have gone over, but it's not the end of the world that she didn't, if you get my meaning. I mean,
brother,
go on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go. No, you finish. Go ahead, because I have some really interesting things. Please go ahead, finish your.
No, see, now what you've done is you've made me really intrigued by your interesting points. So go for it.
All right, me and you were just tagging each other back in and out.
Absolutely, like blind tag, blind tag.
So I think Julia goes over, but I'm like 52% sure that she does, right? Because of the way my Sakurai's been built, and rightfully so. She's unbelievable. You want to talk about just somebody that has improved their game over the last 6 months. 6 months is one Mai Sakurai. And they're putting over that she's being tutored by the great Masahiro Chono. Here's something interesting. Again, I think Julia goes over. And again, I'm not really, you know, putting any money on that. But if Mai Sakurai goes over, think about what this does for Mai Sakurai. Julia, on her way out of stardom, probably should have lost to Suzuki, didn't. Maybe she should have lost to Tam, didn't. A lot of these tag matches, maybe Hanan should have got a win, didn't. We're on this final run from Julia. Maybe Miko Aono should have went over, didn't. What if all these wrestlers that are trying to beat Julia on her way out can't get the wins and they go to TLDs or Julia gets the win? The only one wrestler, not only Marigold, but Stardom, is able to defeat Julia on her way out is Mai Sakurai. What a feather in her cap, pun intended, and double down on that pun intended, brother. That would be for Mai Sakurai, because she could say, I did something that the Tam Nakano couldn't do. I did something that Suzu Suzuki couldn't do. I did something that Hanan couldn't do. I did something that Miko Aono couldn't do. Julia, on her way out on this farewell tour, has either beaten everybody or took them to the limit. And I was able to beat her in the middle of the ring of Cork and Hall. That would be huge, huge. And it's a possibility because it's right there in front of them, because then you've made Mai Sakurai a main eventer. And she's been in some of these main events and these tag matches for these, you know, quote unquote, as you call them, Road to shows or Wrestle Universe shows or whatever you want to call them. But you literally can have her challenge for either Sari for the world, the red belt, or Miko Aono for the white belt coming right after this, because she would be white and red hot. Pun intended, didn't even mean to do that, but I mean, again, I think Julia wins, but they have the opportunity to do something that nobody else on these two rosters that we watch all the time were able to do, and that's pin an L on Julia on her way out of a company.
My own, and this was something I spoke about on the last Marigold Standard. The only issue that I have is Mai Sakurai a big enough star for it to be considered like a legitimate pinfall? And I don't know if I'm explaining myself in the best way. Are people going to believe than Mai Sakurai is pinning Julia for any other reason apart from the fact that she's leaving? Or do people believe that Mai Sakurai is going to pin Julia because she is a legitimate threat? That's the line you have to walk, in my opinion. I would love to see Mai Sakurai get the win. She's been doing great work in Marigold. She's one half of the Twin Star champions. But is she on Julia's level? No, not in a singles capacity for me.
On any given day, brother, on any given day, any wrestler can beat the other one. Here's something else, too. Mai Sakurai goes over. How does she go over? And I'm not even going to joke with the Goodwin elbow drop. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. I feel like that would be a direct trolling.
That's how we send Julia out. No one's able to beat her. What did it take? It couldn't be the violent shooting. It couldn't have been the tequila sunrise. It couldn't have been the violent screwdriver. It was the elbow drop.
The Goodwin elbow drop.
I think if she wins this match, she has to win with the STF with Julia passing out in the middle of the ring. I think that would be so entertaining and such a great story. But, man, we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited for it. I was already excited for this match, but me and you just pumped each other up even more for it, brother. What's the hat going to look like?
Oh my God.
Did Julia come out with a hat? Does everybody wear a hat? I don't know. Are you going to wear a hat? I don't know.
I feel like
you're going to wear a hat.
I feel like everyone in Corrigan Hall needs to be wearing a hat. It's like a wedding. Like, you have to wear a hat to Corrigan Hall. If you don't, what are you doing?
Here's my ticket. Okay, yeah, you paid for your ticket. Oh, you're not wearing a hat. Sorry, sir, man. You can't come in, but I paid my tickets.
I want huge pirate hats. I want hats with stuffed vultures on. I want enormous. I want fezzes. I want bowler hats. Oh, my God. Imagine the scenes. Imagine. And then when Mai Sakurai gets the pinfall, everyone takes the half and launches it in the air. Imagine the visual. Imagine the visual. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Either way. And
oh, my God. I'm sweating over here.
I think this is the biggest compliment that I can pay Mai Sakurai. I would have not been interested in this match 8-9 months ago at all. However, Mai Sakurai has transitioned so well from being a undercard comedy sort of character to someone I actively look forward to watching. And that is credit to no one but her. She's put in the work. She's put in the hours. She's looking fantastic in ring. She's got a character that is so over now with the crowd. She has found that perfect blend of comedy and decent wrestling. That team with Mariah, I think, has really, really helped her. I am really, really genuinely happy for her that she is main eventing a Corrigan Hall against her friend, former Donna Del Mondo teammate. I am absolutely made up for her. And if it couldn't be Utami as her final match, you know, whether Marigold are holding off on that match. It seems like the only reason they wouldn't run it short of injury is that they are holding off on it for a pay-per-view. That's the only thing I can think. But I'm glad it's Mai Sakurai. I am glad. And hopefully, you know, she locks in that STF, has Julia pass out, and the place goes nuts. I'm looking forward to the match. I'm looking forward to the show. And I guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as this show drops, the rest of the card will be put out. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Next week, of course, we will be reviewing that Corrigan Hall show. And then Marigold are live the next weekend with two back-to-back shows, I believe, in Shinkiba, which means that they will be live on Wrestle Universe with it being in Tokyo. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today, guys. Thank you so much. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, then maybe have a think about subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review. It really does help the podcast out, helps us be exposed to even more people and help to spread that great Joshi word of both Stardom and Marigold. You can join our Patreon for as little as $1 a month, www.patreon.com/thestardomcast, where you get a whole host of bonus content, as well as all these episodes early and ad-free. You can find us on social media at The Stardom Cast. You can talk to me. No, you can't. You can find us on Twitter at Marigold Podcast. What am I talking about? You can also
find us both. Of yeah. Buddy. We're easy to get a hold of.
Fine.
Why
fine.
Not? What the hell? It's free.
And if you want to keep up with the news and updates from Marigold and Stardom, you can check out the website, www.thestardomcast.com. You can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. Matt Turner, a relatively short episode considering the lengthy episodes we've been putting out recently, but sign us off.
A real quick question, partner, and obviously we will cover it on next week's Stardom Cast. You sent me a text message on Thursday saying there was one match on the Cork and Hall show from the 5-star Grand Prix that may be the best match of this tournament thus far. What match was that? Because there was three matches that can contend for it. I was just curious.
For me, it was Seoriano and Starlight Kid.
Okay, because I had a lot of people saying it was that, Suzu and Risa, and then Mayu and Momo. I was like, I wonder what match he was talking about, because those three were all really, really good. Anywho, we will cover that on the Stardom Cast next week, partner. But yes, folks, questions, comments, suggestions, anything you need from me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. If you're not a fan of social media, I completely understand, and you want to chat with me, not a problem. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via the email system. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fantastic episode. We greatly appreciate your support. Can't do it without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together, and everyone's different, everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.